Welcome to SmartLess, please hold. 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 Welcome to SmartLess, can I help you? Hello? 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 Hello, you there? Hello? Welcome to SmartLess.
Smart.
Spade.
Mark. Jason, where are you right now? It's Sunday.
The camera, Mark.
Oh, sorry. Oh, God. He's got the lingo still, like, because he does it. You do it. You're still doing it 15 hours
sorry, second
a day.
Sticks. Second sticks on B.
This guy never quits.
He loves the lingo. Willie, how did you play?
I played okay. Played okay. Didn't get a full nine in even because I had to, because we were doing this. I left Abe out there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I mean, all good. All good.
Is it as good as the gum? Is it as good as the gum?
I was just going to say, can you...
Gum.
What?
Go ahead, Sean. Yeah, and?
I was just... And I was
and can you
say,
turn your gum down?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to know something crazy?
Yeah.
Okay, ready.
So...
Yeah.
Last week, maybe, and JB, you forwarded Sean and both Sean and me the thing about... from a couple episodes ago where you asked me if I ever pooped in front of Amy.
And then
Page Six picked it up on this real slow news day.
Yeah. Right? Everybody loves a good poop story, I guess.
And they're like,
Jesus Christ.
And then like, and then some of the headlines were ridiculous, right? Just like.
Like trying to like imply that
there was
you shut me down and you're upset and I got too personal and too gross. And
dude,
funny.
So then Louis K., my trusty publicist, gets an email or a message from somebody at one of the rags
wanting to know if you want to comment, right?
No, even better.
No?
One of the rags who will remain the National Enquirer, and they said left a message asking
are
if
they still
said
around.
They're going to run a story that they've heard in light of this story about the poop thing. That they've heard that there's a long-standing rift between you and me, JB, that has never come to the surface. And would we like to comment on it? And Lewis and I laughed for 5 minutes straight.
And that there's aliens. There's aliens, too. He's circling Bristol.
But just so that people can understand how absurd this stuff is.
I know. I hope that
they literally, out of whole cloth,
Whatever.
I know, but I hope people.
No, who cares,
I hope. I know, but I hope people find enjoyment and pleasure and kind of fun from rags and tabloids and things like that. Because I guess it is, you know, like the print media is struggling, and they need all forms of it to be kind of up and robust, I suppose. And so I don't wish, you know, the demise of any form of media, but. You know, I just hope people like read it right and kind of like get a smile while they're checking out their groceries and, you know, like,
look
at that. That's probably not true, but boy, that's a fun headline.
Yeah, I mean,
it was so funny to out of the blue.
I think in the world we live in, though, that's a good point, Jason Bateman, where I think with the lying and you know who to trust and which side to, I think people now look at headlines differently. I would hope so. I do. I from 10 years ago, I'll look at something and be like, oh, that I bet you I need to hear the other side of that.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-mm.
Oh, sorry. We're going to get right to you, surprise guest.
We've had a lot of chiming in from
Someone's
the surprise guest.
Not
real even on
chiming.
Camera.
Fuck. Sean, where's your dog, Sean?
Well, you guys are going to love our guest today.
Let's get her in here.
Yeah,
I know.
On. She's already here.
I know. She's very, it's very exciting for me and for you guys. It's going to be great. She is the seventh of 10 children raised in a Hasidic household in Montreal, where money was tight. Her mother took the kids to the library
Hasidic,
on weekends.
Hasidic household in Montreal.
Yeah. My joke, when I meet a Hasidic Jew, I always want to meet the other side, the alkaline Jews. Thanks.
Still waiting on the joke.
She studied accounting and started doing stand-up while she was still in college. Later, she posed as a courier to hand-deliver her spec script to the president of HBO Canada. She went on to win an Emmy for her writing, and then John Mulaney directed her Netflix special, calling her one of the funniest people living. I agree wholeheartedly. Self-described as a 73-year-old man, it's the truly hilarious Robbie Hoffman.
No.
Hey, Robbie Hoffman.
Yeah. Look at this.
Come on,
there's no way the fellas know me.
Robbie, you know I know you because we've met.
Fine.
Yeah, fine.
And you
Robbie,
worked
we
on
had
that
dinner.
Kids show.
Robbie, we had dinner, and I think you blacked out well before dessert got there, so I doubt you remember it.
That sounds like me. And I, you don't think I would remember if I had dinner with the guy from Switch?
Hey, huh?
You don't think my whole family? When I tell you my family watched Switch, like people watch like...
Your family?
The Hangover movie or something? It's like...
That's not my a family movie. That's about a guy swapping goo.
We love the movie. My mother's like, why don't we rent Switch again? You kids love that.
Jason, don't talk her out of it. They liked it. They enjoyed
it.
We
love Switch.
It was originally called The Baster. Okay, did you know that?
Starring Jason Baster.
Yeah.
Well, the little kid, I don't know if he was ethnically Jewish or whatever, but he said something that we related to, but he said... Your character explains him what a hypochondria is. And he goes, oh, I think I have that.
Yeah.
And that was like literally I was seen. Sure, I'm like, oh my God.
I know. I think
it was anyway, you're amazing in every movie. And also Jennifer Aniston, and we can cut whatever. Does she know she's a lesbian icon? She might not know.
Is that true?
I think she's an icon to everybody.
She is, but she's specifically Sean, and it's not this not all men thing that you need to get into off the top here, okay?
Right. Okay.
Yes, everybody loves her.
Can I gloat for a second on a similar subject?
Please.
There was a moment there, and I think the boys know this, so I apologize if you've heard it before, that I thought that I was qualified as a gay icon when I found out from my attorney one day on a startling phone call that JasonBateman.com was a gay porn hub site.
This is right. This is true.
Porn hub website. So from JasonBateman.com, you could go to hundreds of gay porn sites. So I was
Stop selling us.
It's J-A-S-O-N. but I was flattered for a flash there that I was like, oh, well, they could have picked any name.
By the way, I think you're a gay icon, but we know mostly men... of a lot of gay icons. We know the Cher, we know Barbara Streisand, we know Jason Bateman. Nobody knows what the dykes are looking at.
Right? Sure.
And Jennifer, we don't have that many. It's like, what are we looking at?
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston, it's all because she wore a belt in the 90s. By the way, her credit. But, you know, we don't need much, but you have a belt on, and we're doing, like, nobody's really thinking of us.
Not that she even wants to be. Yeah.
One of the poorest communities that could be in you. It's not like gay men, they go out, they buy tickets, they're going to go see Lady Gaga. Like, dykes are home with the cats. Like, you don't make money off of us. But we respect you, and that's it.
That's it. By the way, might I add, Robbie, that you and I are dressed exactly the same today.
That's true.
Are we? Is this a gay thing?
Glasses, well, baseball
wait,
hat,
I got a hoodie,
hoodie
on, too.
Let me be gay. Sean dresses like a college dude from 1998. Wait, Robbie, I didn't know you were from Montreal. I had no idea.
Well, I'm originally from New York, and then I grew up in Montreal, so you got the bio right, and both are true.
Mm-hmm. How about that? Okay. How about that?
What got things up to Montreal?
My mother is from Montreal, so it's not... My mother... had 10 kids, joined a Hasidic cult, had 10 kids. I'm the seventh of that.
What got her kicked out of Williamsburg?
We were in Crown Heights.
All right.
Yeah.
And...
not even a giggle.
No.
No, yeah. Not really.
I'll work harder.
Now, Robbie, where are you right now? Are you on tour?
No, I'm in my my office / gym.
Yeah.
I got this type of... it's lats.
The pull down, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any weights on the lats. My friend Dan is supposed to come over. Dan Donahue, if you listen to this pod, I don't know what weights this needs. He put this together, and then there's no weights on it.
What about some? Some would be good.
No. We need some sort of a stack. It's a specific.
Are you East Coast or West Coast?
I live in Los Angeles.
Oh, you do? Okay. All right.
How do you like Los Angeles?
I like it a lot. I mean, you know, LA's a dump, New York's a shithole, but there's nowhere else to live, really.
Yeah.
What about Montreal?
No. Freezing. No. It's freezing and there's nothing doing that.
You get out of there in the winter.
I'm just not going, Jason.
All right. Stop pushing me.
I love that you're a self-described 73-year-old man because I am kind of too. By the way, your special is so
Robbie, you're so funny. You're so funny. It's unreal.
I'm sold already.
By the way,
in 10 minutes, I'm sold.
Yeah, where do you get your fearlessness from for all the stuff you talk about? Your rant, which I would never go on about they, them,
yeah,
is really funny.
But I don't think I'm fearless. I think I'm extremely afraid.
Oh, wow.
All of the time. Like, the difference is like, I'm simultaneously extremely afraid and extremely confident. Yeah. And I don't know why that is, but it's not like I say all these things or whatever. It's I'm thinking them, right? So it's not like I want to think them. It's like I have a joke about pedophilia. I wish I never knew what it was.
Right.
Okay.
I wish I never knew what it was. But now that I do, I have a thought about it. I didn't choose this thought.
Sure.
I didn't. So I'm telling you, but I am extremely afraid.
We can all agree that the subject is a horrible thing, but the way you talk about it,
I have questions.
What you say about it. Yeah, you have questions, right?
I have funny questions.
Yeah.
I have questions. And, you know, so it's not that I'm fearless. Yeah. I think I, like, wake up afraid. I'm always a little anxious. But just because I'm afraid doesn't mean I don't get to do something. It's kind of like I was afraid my whole life. Taking the bus, you know, the last bus home or something, you know, always looking, but I still have to get on the bus.
Right.
If I don't get on this bus, fuck, I'm going out. I got to wait for the first bus, five in the morning. So, you know, it's just because I'm afraid. That's probably where it comes from. I've been afraid my whole life, but I still had to do.
So you want to attack those things because it scares you, and after you've attacked them, or not just an attack, I would just say, like, approach them or speak about them or joke about them, it probably is fulfilling in some way.
I don't want to. I wish I never had to do any of this.
Sure.
I feel...
What would you rather be doing?
Nothing. I'd love to do nothing.
Yeah. When did you first realize that by joking about something became a little less scary?
It's always scary. I just live in fear.
Right.
But when did it start? Were you, like, as a little kid, was there, like, joking around the house?
Well, you grew up very religious, right? You mentioned that in the open, and then you mentioned about your mom. Like, you grew up very, very religious. I bet having a sense of humor about it, as Jason's saying, when you first have those first inclinations of thoughts that go against what you're involved in, that must have been scary.
Well, here's the thing. It's like nothing was off limits. My whole family is funny. My whole community is funny. Right. I come from a funny people.
Right.
And it's just, it's brutal and funny at the same time always.
Yeah.
So it could be, you know, it's never too soon. We didn't have these types of concepts. That's when I got into, you know, more normal white or rich spaces where they had this idea too soon, to this, to that, to the other. We didn't have.
Really?
If it was funny. If you threw it, if you bombed, your brother hit you. You know, shut up. What the fuck?
Right.
You know, you were told on the spot.
Yeah. Well, with 10 kids.
It was immediate. All of
and you're saying that's cultural. That wasn't unique to your family.
No, it was cultural, and we had a million cylinders flying all the time. Some people were crying. Some people were laughing. It was always together. There was not ever neat lines. Mm-hmm. There was never a time and a place. Like, these types of concepts of, well, it's not the time or it's too soon. That language didn't even enter.
What was the big comedic influence in the house? Was there a particular comic that you guys liked to all watch, or movies or something like that?
We didn't really do that, but my mother was very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We liked laughing at her. Mostly. Uh-huh. My father was funny objectively, like just jokes and stuff, you know, saying, you know, I shower once a week, whether I need to or not, or things like that. But the whole family is funny, but the whole family was also brutal. Uh-huh. There was, you know, I grew up, you know, everybody, we grew up poor and my brothers were fighting and there was a lot of physical abuse and toppling over each other. And I have five brothers and my mother couldn't pull my brothers apart. Oh. But there was also laughing. Like, I don't know. Right. It was all together all the time. So it doesn't mean I'm not scared.
Are you the only girl?
No, I have four sisters too.
Ten total.
Do the math. You have 10 total. You have five brothers. What are you doing?
I didn't hold on to the top of the interview.
It's a lot, Jason. I feel for you.
It's so hard.
He's still.
You're that pretty a face. You don't have to do so much.
He doesn't have to listen.
If he dips in, he dips in.
Yeah.
I have to catch everything. I got to be on it. But if you're Jason Bateman, you catch this, you catch that. It's been an easy ride.
It's been an easy ride since day one. If you're Jason Bateman,
hey, listen,
very soft hands.
Wait, listen,
he's a gay sex symbol. Who cares?
I'm a fucking icon. Hang on, a gay icon.
Wait, so I
thought I was a gay icon, to be honest, because I played a couple of gay characters.
It's Lady Gaga, Barbara Streisand, and Bateman.
There we
wow. I'm out. Hey, Robbie, are you still close to your family?
Yes.
Yeah, great.
That's so nice. That's so
yes,
great.
Yes, we're like the Kardashians, but Jewish and poor.
Right.
A lot of us are very close.
Well, I love... So I won't ask you to say jokes again, but as a fan, I have to repeat some of them because they're funny. And so when you said having money for the first time, you would go over somebody's... This is so funny. You
this
went over
you
to somebody's...
bait her into saying...
No, she didn't have to.
Say it
have
wrong,
to.
And then she's going to correct
and
you.
And he can,
smart,
you know
smart
what?
Smart strategy.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay.
Sean, do your impression.
Jack,
do your impression
I also
of Robbie.
Give a pass.
Sean, do your impression of Robbie. He does a great impression of you all the time. Do the whole thing.
Do it.
Yeah, so I went over to this guy's, you know, these people's house, and I was like, no. When
the
you
anti-Semitism
first...
at 9:50 a.m. is astonishing.
It's terrible.
Right? Well, I'm like, I come in here. I work last night. They said 9 a.m.
She comes in here on her time off on a Sunday, 9 a.m.
Sunday, the Lord's Day.
She's giving
day.
Her time. And Sean, you got to do this cliche fucking, what are you doing, dude?
So much work.
And then I got to hear the Xanthes. Go on, Sean. Finish it
Sean,
up.
Sean, start with an oi, you dick.
Yeah, here we go.
Literally.
No, that you, God, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. That you, when you first started being around richer people with money, because I come from a very similar background than you. Big family, very poor, on top of each other,
Irish
no
Catholic?
Parenting. Irish Catholic, exactly.
I love
the same.
Irish Catholic.
Yeah, it's the same. We all have the same shit. But anyway, you went over to this person's house and to go swimming, and they had towels, and that was mind blowing to you.
You know whose house that
towels?
Was?
Whose?
It was Silverman's house.
Who's Silverman?
Sarah Silverman.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
So I left her because I always give Sarah Silverman a hard time because obviously I'm a lifelong fan. And then I love Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And when he picks her up in a car, he picks her up at an apartment. And right, I'm going, I'm poor. I'm on fucking, you know, like I'm like, she lives in an apartment? Like, I was horrified. I'm like, what's even the point of dreaming if you're Sarah Silverman and right. you couldn't even get out? She's in the right. fucking apartment he picks her up. So when Sarah Silverman finally bought a house, and it's not even, it's a small house, but it's a house. I'll take it. Right. I'm like, you're Sarah Silverman. Right. We don't want to see that you're in the fucking block with us.
Right, right, right.
We want to dream.
Right, and then when you went over there, the one line that made me laugh out loud amongst many was towels. You said something about towels. Whatever towel you're born with is the towel you die with. I don't know new towels.
I never heard of new towels because she said we just got new towels for the pool. I said, new towels?
Right.
Like, to me, a towel's built with the house. I don't know where they even came from. Like, unless it's exfoliating your skin off, it's not drying you. Like, this new fluffy towel. Like,
and by the way, there's nothing great about a new towel. A new towel ain't good until about 20 washes, and it gets all that film off of it, and
it
finally gets
thirsty.
Oh, hang on a
second. Sounds like we got an expert here. Go ahead, sir.
I am. It's actually a thing
Wake
for
up
me.
On Netflix.
By the way, Robbie, you so can't good. Believe the towels and the bedding that Jason is involved with.
Oh,
it is of the it is of the highest level. No, it is. He is.
I know how to create a thirsty towel. You need a thirsty towel, okay? Otherwise,
but you
don't
know
want
what?
It.
I'm into that for Jason. Like, I don't want to go to Jason Bateman's house or drive by it, and it's fucking. He's in 7D.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I want it to be a gate. I want to like.
Oh, it's a gate.
It's not like we want to dream. We want to see that the stars are living like stars. Something breaks for me if they're not.
Don't worry. Right. Don't worry. But don't worry, he's fulfilling all your fantasies.
Hey, East Hampton. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
He's in there.
I love it.
He's in the house.
You too, Chuckles. Ernest Borgnine, okay,
Upper East. Ernest Borgnine jerked off in every room in Jason's house. That's a true story.
Fantastic. That's what that's I want. True. I want these stories.
That's Hollywood Babylon, okay?
We'll be right back.
All right, back to the show.
But Robbie, you know, the same thing about what you said about like going to these people's houses, because when Will and Grace first started and, you know, I became this thing that people knew. And
gay icon.
You
know,
you did.
And I was thrust into this world that
No, I'm sure gay people hated him because gay men all want to be the funny one. So when there's actually a funny one, they're like, "Who does he think he is?"
Yeah.
Is that true, Sean? Did you get backlash in the gay community, Sean?
No comment.
Okay.
But I started feeling like.
Oh, backlash. I didn't say backsplash. Keep going.
Oh. Bear backlash. How about that? Did you get me bear backlash?
Okay. Don't turn around. Okay. Don't look at me. Don't turn around.
Don't you fucking look at me.
Jesus.
Go ahead.
So I started living this life that I only read about like in magazines or whatever. And then I found myself inside this one mansion of this very wealthy person that we all know. And there's this butler there to greet me. And there's you can't go upstairs. You can't go in this room. You can go in this room. And I heard you talking about a similar thing, right? A similar experience about how when you first quote unquote make it or whatever, you start that it's much more ease and comfortability hanging out with people who don't have money because there's no rules with people who don't have money. And I loved when you talked about that.
Yeah, like I miss like you know when you go to a rich person's house or something and you can't like. Everything is like you're kind of standing around this like gargantuan island. It's like too big. Like right, the kitchen island has gone. I'm like, can we get closer? Like, can we chat? Like, it's just you live at this gargantuan island.
It's true.
And you don't go in the fridge. The fridge is crazy.
Yeah,
like you don't really like snack versus like, you know, when I would just go to somebody's apartment, it's like the house is a dump.
Right.
You know, the air conditioner is held on by a little thing. Right. And there's chips, there's Doritos, you can grab a Sprite, you can have, there's like, you know, there's like whiskey.
Right,
whatever,
right.
And you're just shitting on people. You're
right.
Sitting there, you're shitting on everyone. Right. I hate that bitch.
Right. Yeah.
That bitch could get fucked.
Right.
And you're just chilling. And the whole thing, and sometimes the neighbor, and you go, fuck you. Well, fuck you. Like, nothing...
Right.
You're just
nothing
chill.
Soft.
Like it doesn't matter. Like you finish your drink out, you did a spill. Who cares? We'll clean it up tomorrow.
But then the opposite is like you always feel like you're on, I don't know, somebody. You have to watch every move you make. You have to watch every glass where you set your glass. You have
to watch and not
everything.
To glorify being poor because it's horrible for everything else.
Yeah.
By the way, not worth it for the chill.
But just the socializing. Just the socializing
part is good.
Take
rich over poor. Even with the socializing. That said, there's certain things that we did better.
Right.
You know what you ought to do, Robbie? Consider this. You know, you're now sort of realizing your dream. You're a specialist, huge. You're becoming a comedic icon. How about that? Okay.
Yeah.
And it's true, and it's based on fucking unreal talent. What you got to do is when you build your dream house, your dream mansion, build out beautiful fucking towels, six sets of towels, sheets, fucking whatever. Blah, blah. But the kitchen is a fucking wreck. The kitchen is a tiny little kitchen with a fucking table, shit fridge,
wood
Doritos and Sprite, and whatever the fuck you want. A little stove, a little electric stove with a coil.
You got a goat in the corner that you get your milk from.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just do that. The rest of the house is incredible. Yeah, right?
A goat.
I actually think there's good legs to this. It's kind of like giving like the meme when Hillary Clinton, remember the meme of Hillary Clinton seeing like a working class family's kitchen for the first time? It's one of the greatest things. I think it cost her everything. I think it was just that one picture where it's like, oh yeah, they're not like us.
Well, by the way, you know what you could do? Now that I'm really going, because you know what a lot of rich people do is they have two kitchens, right? That's very popular. Have you seen this before?
No, this is new for me. Please
So like what they do is they have, so you go in, they have the kitchen with the island and stuff and it looks great and beautiful.
Yeah.
And then that's where everybody hangs out. And then behind, they have the actual working kitchen. Sorry, Jason, what is
it? So there's like a slave. Sean's there with a bell. Is that what's going on
no,
still?
No, they have literally a working kitchen behind the kitchen.
Right,
so
they have two. Right.
You could have your shit kitchen, but behind have a real working kitchen that's beautiful and has all the stuff. You could. It's like a set. Jason is really hung up on
this. He's still the goat in the corner of the middle.
If Jason doesn't have at least two kitchens, I'm quitting. Like, there's no point. I can't dream anymore. Like, if he doesn't have at least two kitchens, there's nothing left.
Where are you? Are you in between poor and rich, or are you firmly in rich now, or are you still in poor?
No, I think I'm like... What a pretty successful dentist might make.
Okay. That's rich.
That's very good.
It's rich. It's extremely rich.
You got a pull down machine behind you, for Christ's sake. Look at
you. No, I know. I got indoors. Once I get the weights, it's over for you. bitches, once I get these weights on here and I get that V shape going.
Look, you got the greenery behind you. Got greenery behind you and shit.
This apartment, actually, I am in one of my dreams. Like, we rent this apartment, but the landlord is 93. Okay. And I am hoping we can rent it for 10 more years. We don't know if he's alive or what. We don't know. We haven't heard from him, and I try not to ask him for anything. But this is a dream situation. I live in a beautiful apartment.
Yeah.
And I like an apartment. I think I'm a little safer. I have to work up to a house because I don't like that the door, and then it's like street. I need either the gate thing, but then I'm like, I would never like... What I thought about when with a house is like, let's say you want a glass of water and maybe Jason, okay. So you're going downstairs. Like, what is the travel time?
It's it takes a bit.
You just want a cup of water.
It takes a bit. I got a Camelback that gets me from the
Travel time. Do you have a mini fridge upstairs? Are people doing the mini, or is that poor?
When it's working, it's nice.
So a long time ago, I saw a scripted show called Unorthodox on Netflix, which if you haven't seen it, it's really, really great.
Fantastic.
It was an amazing show. It's about, if you haven't seen it, it's great. It's about a woman who is trying to escape the traditions of being an Hasidic Jew and that culture and that lifestyle. And it's hard to get out because of the family dynamics.
Because they keep pulling you back in. That's right. The Godfather. Okay, keep going.
And so tell me what it was like growing up. Because now that's the only reference I have for anything. Because it's very educational for me inside the life of a Hasidic family. What was it like growing up in that, knowing you were gay, and then coming out?
I didn't know I was gay. I had no idea. I wasn't a kid who knew anything like this.
Yeah.
I didn't want to come about it. When I found out, when I was like, oh, I'm gay, I'm like, I don't think so.
How'd you find out? Was it by mail?
No, I only found out, like, maybe at 17, there was this really weird Italian girl. And she...
Okay, slow down through here, please.
Yeah, no. So what happened was I was at school and we would chat till like 5 in the morning. We would chat. But then we had to sign up for gym. I'm 17, okay? So we had, for next semester, we had to do gyms. And I was like, I'm going to try and get into badminton. I would always try and get like a very easy gym because I'm Jewish and not athletic. I was like, I heard golf is an easy A. So I'm going to try and do golf.
Okay,
because the teacher, Beauchamp, I still remember his name. He apparently, like, he just wants you to try. He loves golf. And so if you try, he gives you an A. Like, it's A for effort in his class. He just wants people to enjoy the game of golf. Sure. So I was like, but his class fills up because it's the easiest class.
Right.
And she goes, well, I'm going to do, there's a camping intensive dyke, okay? Camping seemed like the hardest gym you could do. Like, yes, you didn't have to do gym every... Okay, no Jew was even thinking to join the camping, like,
camping intensive.
Like, yeah, so you do your gym, it's 1 week, but your gym for the semester is done. Instead of going to golf once a week, or instead of going to badminton once a week. This is in public college in Montreal. They made you do a gym still in college.
Right.
This is what, CEGEP?
CEGEP. Thing. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so this is in CEGEP. So she was like, I'm doing camping. I'm like, is she demented? That's like the hardest gym you could do. What? A week? Like, I'd rather do badminton once a week. So then she starts talking to me and she goes, there's this bisexual or something on the trip. What if we share a tent and she kisses me? And I go, what are you, fucking gay? I'm like, call the police. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, what is she doing? I'm like, this scenario blew me away. Like, I'm like, is this girl okay? Like, what do you mean if she tried to kiss you? Literally call the police. Like, this is insane. You have to tell the teacher on this girl. Like, this is crazy.
Right.
So I'm like, you got to go to the teacher. Like, I don't know. I just get offline. I'm like, I'm going to bed.
Right.
Then she starts talking to me. She's like, this camping trip's coming up. And then she tells me the girl, they did their camping intensive. The girl kissed her. I'm like, okay, this girl's fucking gay. I am not, like, what a weird, I was the most homophobic person you could be.
Sure.
Okay, because of I probably knew about it. But I would test the waters. Like, I would ask my older sister, I'd say, what do you think about gay people? Because one of my sisters told me Rosie O'Donnell was gay, and I was like, that's impossible. She loves Tom Cruise.
Right.
Sure.
Like, thinking, like, she's like, she's a dyke. Wake up.
Right.
Like, and I just, like, didn't want to, like, but I asked one of my older sisters, a different sister, I said, what do you think about these gay people? Because Chaya says that Rosie O'Donnell's gay. And she's like, if God wanted gay people, he would have made Adam and Steve.
Sure.
Not Adam and Eve. And sure, I said, wow, when she's right, she's right. Uh-huh. That was facts.
Who is this, your mom? Your mom
said
that?
No, this was one of my older sisters. One of my sisters thought Rosie O'Donnell was gay, didn't give a shit about being religious. The other one was still quite religious and was like, if God wanted.
Right.
And I was like, wow, she's so wise.
Yeah.
Like, she hit me
right.
with an indisputable fact.
Sure. Right.
But then what happened? But then
so
how
then
did you?
This girl, she was persistent. She wore me down.
The camper.
Yeah. Camper.
Okay, my father was going to send me. I had no money, and I, out of nowhere, I really tried to reach out to my father if he could send me. I was living on my own. I was 17. I was in school and working full-time, but I needed like $200 for the semester, or I couldn't even. It was a public college, but I think it at least costed $200. And my father somehow came through with $200. Mm-hmm. My father's like, it's going to be at Western Union. And I'm like, I can't believe my father's sending me money. He's first of all, nobody had money. So, but I was like, it really meant a lot to me that he was like doing this lifeline, sending me $200. And she was like, I know where the Western Union is.
Uh-oh.
What? Because I never heard of it. I didn't really know how to get the money. She walked me all the way there.
Did she yell this to you from an open car window?
No, literally. We walked. We talked for 8 hours. I wrote her name in Hebrew.
Uh-huh.
Letters. She was interested in my background. And it was something different than a friend. And then the year we were graduating, it was the end of the semester now. And our teacher was throwing, like, you know, an end of the year. Everybody could exchange numbers. Everybody could, you know, he wanted us to, like, get together in the summer and share what we're reading and all this stuff.
This is Beauchamp.
No, but, and by the way, Beauchamp was huge.
What's that?
And he just stood there.
Teacher.
And you went one by one. He taught you how to swing. And that was the end of the class. It was, I got into golf and it was worth everything.
Yeah. Sure.
So that's, if Beauchamp is still teaching at Dawson, take his class.
Sure.
It's like an hour meditation. There's nothing even to do. He doesn't care if you're good at
golf.
And
it's a guaranteed A. It's a guaranteed A.
It's an easy A. So. Yeah, so at the end of the year, we go to this bar, this student bar that the teacher was going to buy maybe two pitchers or whatever. Uh-huh. Again, we're like 18 now, 17, 18. Montreal, so keep in mind, this is not like a U.S. They don't like alcohol. Like, everybody drinks from 14 there. It's not like a thing.
Yeah, right.
Sure. So, and we go, and she goes, she goes the night before, we're chatting till like 4 in the morning, and she goes, what if I kissed you? Mm-hmm. She tells me this. And I'm like, what are you, fucking gay? I block delete her.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Block delete. She's out of my life. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
We go to the end of the summer, end of the semester, hang at the bar the afternoon, like San Cassette, 5 to 7. I go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. She goes to the bathroom. First of all, it's a huge place, but I don't even know. Mm-hmm. She gets in the stall. I get in the stall, and she just kisses me.
Come on.
And I right away was
kissing her. She followed you into the stall.
Yeah, she's a predator. Fucking it happens rude. Both sides. We forget.
She kissed you, then you kissed her back.
Yeah, and I remember touching her stomach, and I was like, wow, you have abs. That's what the first thing I ever said.
Wow.
Sure.
But I didn't know of abs, really. But I was like, oh, this is abs.
Right,
And that was it. And then I was gay secret. But I never thought about being gay my whole life. I really didn't think of anything but being poor.
Then how did that go over with the folks?
Well, my father is still Hasidic. I have no relationship with him, so I don't know. He heard about it, and he wrote me one email. This is not befitting behavior for a daughter of Israel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not Israeli or anything, but I think he's talking more biblically. Israel is the Jewish people.
Right.
Oh, no, he said the behavior is promiscuous and not be fitting. And I only had one girlfriend. I really was not promiscuous. So I resented that.
Yeah.
I was not like a hoe.
No.
I was monogamous.
Right.
And even if I wanted to be a hoe, so be it. But anyway, who cares?
Right. Exactly.
And then my mother didn't know. By this point, my family was not that religious. And I was also a little more removed by my family. I came back to, like, I was living on my own. I was, like, not living in my mother's house. Like, my big world was my social world.
Yeah.
Like, it was about friends. It was about this. And they thought it was weird. They didn't take it well.
For
the most part. Yeah, even though gay was still a thing and we weren't as religious, they were still conservative. I still, like,
right,
the community I then became a part of was, like, yes, not as fanatic as we were, but still conservative.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
And now back to the show.
Great. So this is a good segue to talk about Gabby, your wife, Gabby. Now, I don't know that these two know anything about your wife. Maybe they do, but it's such a fascinating story. Gabby Windy was the Bachelorette on the show Bachelorette. And so, and then you ended up with her, which is such a great.
Yeah, she had 20, my wife had 25 boyfriends 4 years ago, and I got the final fucking rose in the end.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. Hey.
Right? Isn't that wild? It's such a great story.
How did that happen?
I don't know, and I have nothing when the fellas, because I told her not to come out. I had such a brutal story. You know, I said, because she said she's going to think about coming out. I'm like, nah, I don't think we need to do that anymore.
Uh-huh.
I said, just.
Wait. Was she gay when she was on the show?
So she was always, and I won't fully speak to her, but I will a little bit. She wasn't always like, she was unsure. She was one of those girls, like, she's repressed, like, when she was younger, she had gay thoughts, but her parents were so anti that she just, and she could go the other way. She could go with dudes. So she just did that. And I think the way she describes it was, first of all, if you're hot and you can get onto The Bachelor as a contestant, she typically tells girls do it. She was a nurse, an ICU nurse for years.
Wow.
And for her, being on The Bachelor first as a contestant was like, she's like, you go on one date with the dude once a week, and then the rest of the week, you're like in Portugal with all these girls
hanging out.
Right. Like, it's a free European, like, she's like, they take you everywhere. You have one shooting day a week.
Yeah.
And it's like a paid for amazing vacation she got to see. But then she got chosen as the Bachelorette.
Right.
Now she's the girl with the 25 dudes.
Right.
So then you're working a lot. You're going on a day to day or whatever. And I think as it started to dwindle down, she was like, I don't think any of these.
Right.
She was getting more pressure.
And did you know her during that time, or did you meet her after the show?
I met her after the show, but I did watch the end of her season without knowing it was her. When I met her, of course, she's not in the gown, and you know, it's a very different.
How did you guys meet? Was it like an industry function, or is it just like?
No, we met outside.
Out in the wilderness?
Yeah,
we met just outside.
On a camping trip?
No, could you imagine? Uh-huh. I was meeting a friend after. I miss a lot of evenings because I do stand-up, so I miss a lot of dinners and stuff like that. But there was some type of an event, and I was going to meet my friend after I had stand-up. And I went to go meet her maybe around 10 p.m., and we split a beer. And by the time we were leaving, we were on the sidewalk waiting for our Ubers. Gab was there. There wasn't many people there, but she was there with her friends, and that's how we met. She was waiting for her Uber.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And this is in L.A. or New York?
L.A.
And you're like, hey, you want to hang out sometime or have a dinner or whatever?
No. So at first I get spotted, which is very new for me. But a dyke like me, like a more boyish one, was like looking at me. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, no, we got to go. I told my friend Rox. I'm like, I'm not gay like that. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, nothing wrong. People get mad at me. I'm joking. I don't mind mask for mask. I'm not mask for mask. Do what you want. Doesn't matter.
Sure.
So she comes up to me, and I think she's hitting on me, and, I got to... Because that, to me, is really gay. Like, I'm gay, but there's, like, a boy one, there's a girl one, it kind of works again. If I was mass for mass, I'm like, oh, bitch, you're gay.
Wait, sorry, what is that phrase?
Nothing wrong.
I want to know that phrase. What is that phrase?
Mask for mask?
Masculine.
Masculine.
It's like mask and femme.
Thank you.
Okay.
Got it.
So this butch comes... And I think she's going to hit on me. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not really in the mood. But she goes, oh, I know your comedy. She goes, I know your comedy. And she spotted me for my comedy, which is very new for me to happen. And I'm like, Baruch Hashem, because I don't really get spotted, but right. I was spotted at the perfect moment. It's kind of if somebody catches you doing a good deed. I was once caught giving a 20 to a homeless. Yeah. Is that amazing? Yeah. It never happens. You know what I mean? It's like you never get caught in a good deed.
Right.
And it's not like you need, but when it happens, you go, see?
Yeah,
see?
Right. I'm nice.
Right.
But it's excellent. So it was one of these moments where I get spotted, but it's not just me alone in the wilderness. There's a hot, amazing girl right there.
Right.
Who could hear this potentially, and this could be impressive to such a person.
Sure, right.
So I go, oh, I start, you know, talk, you know, when you talk loud to other people to hear, I go, oh yeah, that is a great bit. You know, I start
loud
getting
enough in. Loud enough for her to hear.
And then I go, well, never mind you, who are you with? And she was with Gabby, and she goes, oh, this Gab, you know, the bachelor. I was like, the bachelor's gay? I don't know, maybe they're making a gay bachelor. I have no idea what they're doing anymore.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, no, she's exploring. And I go, what are you, Dora the Explorer? You're 30 years old. Who's exploring anymore?
Right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
You know you're at this place with all these dykes. It's like a dykey bar and whatever. So, and we really, our banter right away was excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And, you know,
and so how long you guys been together now?
4 years.
Oh, that's great.
And you got married last year?
Yes, we did.
Yes, and you got married in Vegas for $799.
Yes, we did.
And tell me what that included.
It included a limousine. Mm-hmm. It included the Reverend Nature.
Yeah.
And it included Nathan, the photographer.
Right.
Wait, sorry, you said Reverend. That's not a rabbi?
Well, she's not anything. She works in Vegas.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
She's like a what is it called?
Like an officiator.
An officiant, but, you know, not denomination.
So you didn't want to have a religious, it's adjacent.
Well, we can't. We're lesbians anyway.
Right.
At that point,
really?
It's like, what are we doing? I know some people ask me, like, is it important for you to marry Jewish? I'm like, what are we doing, Phyllis?
Yeah.
I'm like,
right.
Can we?
Yeah. Right. Just trying to keep track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let me just say this. Let me ask you this. So somehow, you burst onto the scene, and I say burst because it feels like you just all of a sudden were like just this incredible comedian out of nowhere.
Right,
honestly,
yeah.
I feel that way. From the first time I saw you, I was like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So good. And Sean mentioned it in the intro that Mulaney kind of had a lot to do with giving you, helping you. Is that true?
Right.
How did that come about? What's that story?
Yeah, he said no one's owned
Not
the
you.
Stage.
I want to hear from.
I know, but this will set her up. No one's owned the stage like you since James Brown, which I thought was great.
Wow.
Thank you, fellas.
Robbie, how did it happen?
It happened out of nowhere, just like that. He texted me. I can read the text. Nobody, this is an exclusive.
Bring it up.
Where did he see? Where was this?
He, I don't know what he saw, but he was sent to me out of thin air to help me. He threw his weight behind me. I mean, I was known to comedians. I'm comedians do watch me.
Yeah.
And I'm not somebody, I'm not very online. I don't post my clips or anything like that. So to see me, you really have to see me. And I guess he had. And, you know, I've had people listen to John Hamm has come to shows. Like, people who stand up.
Old Hambone got in there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, you
read
know.
Read the text. What did the text say?
So he knew of me, and I was doing well, but very, low-key still. Yeah. He goes, hi, Robbie, this is John Mulaney. Dan gave me your number. I hope that's okay. A Dan that we know, a comedian. I have been a big fan of your work for a while and really enjoyed you on WTF. I know you have various things going on, but if you'd ever want to talk about doing a special for Netflix, I make them and would be very excited to work with you on one. I think you're touring now, so maybe it's something you're eyeing. I'm around and happy to talk whenever. Okay, happy Sunday.
That's really nice.
And I go, which Dan? JK, I don't care either way. And I go, I mean, yes, of course, this has been my next dream move. You'd be a terrific help in making this happen. From John Mulaney, it's Robbie Hoffman. My God, that sounds great.
Yeah, that's great.
Hope this text is okay, as I really didn't know what to write back. As you can imagine, it's very shocking, horrifying, and anxiety-inducing, surreal, and thrilling for someone like me to receive a text like this from someone like you. But yes, I would love to talk and work on a Netflix special with you.
Wow.
And we got it. We got it done.
Wow.
That's
we
so
got
cool.
it done.
That's really
that's
cool.
fucking dope.
That's pretty great.
That's really,
just
really
good. He decided
to
throw his weight. He had this deal with them, and he has good taste.
Yeah, the funny dude.
And he just let me, like, I wasn't going to let anyone, like, he did all the production stuff and the stage and directing, and this camera's going to be here and this camera. And I was like, John, I will show up with the greatest hour of stand-up.
Like, it's so funny.
Like, if you ask me to, like, I'm going to do what I do amazing, and I will not, and he did his shit amazing. I didn't have to worry about anything. He's like, we're going to capture all of it.
Did you just shoot one show, or did you take the best from a couple?
We had two in one night.
That's great.
And we knew after the first one, we got it. So I could just dance the second one. After that first hour, I go, wow. And I don't say this, you know, I mean it objectively. I said, I think it's one of the greatest specials recorded in recent. We haven't had a stand-up set. And I know it's mine, but I would say, listen, I've done plays early on where I'm like, you don't have to see that play. I'm telling you, it's not good. I don't care because I'm in it. That I would recommend it or something like that. Objectively speaking, it is one of the greatest stand-up specials. I think that's why it's getting, you know, it happens to be mine. Sometimes I look at it and I go, oh my God, I can't believe I did that because it is so scary. But
really funny tonight. I'll watch it tonight.
Okay, thank you, Jason. Yeah. So yeah, it's just, I knew that I wasn't going to let him down. He didn't let me down. He threw his weight. You don't see that a lot. He's just... I never thought like a guy buttoned up like that. He wears a suit, classy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would fuck with somebody like me. I'm a little grittier and whatever. And what even am I? Like, you know. So, but we kind of had this Eminem Dido collab. Like, it was like the collab that you didn't know you needed.
Dido.
Who's Eminem? Who's Dido? We don't know. But it was like a Batman and Robin. It was like it worked out. It was like a great collab.
Are you allowing yourself to dream beyond next year, 5 years, 10 years? Where would you like to see
yourself
go? Nobody
dreams bigger than me.
That's
Nobody
great.
Dreams bigger than me.
So what are some of those dreams, Robbie?
Just everything. I mean, I'm living part of the dream already, truly, in that I get to, this is realizing, like getting to do this every day. Like part of the dream was not waking up to an alarm clock.
Right.
And for your podcast, I had to because it's 9 o'clock for a comedian. Right. It's brutal. But part of the dream is I don't wake up and dread going to work.
Yeah.
Like that is over, and I never get over that being over. The day in and the day out of the dream is being achieved. But it's just, it's keeping everything, whatever I want.
You're developing a show at HBO, Unentitled, which is great. You'll be writing it, executive producing it, starring in it. That's pretty huge and cool and dreamy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And tell me one, this is the last question I'll ask you because we've kept you too long. What's one completely normal thing you just hate doing now that you've kind of, you know, are enjoying some success? Mine is I hate stopping for gas because that's why I got an electric car. I don't like dishes or laundry, but the biggest thing I hate doing is pumping gas.
Okay.
I like it. I like to look at people. I'm like a very nosy. I like to see cars that people have.
Yeah.
I like nice cars. I go in a window. I look inside. I'm a very big car person.
Right.
Something I hate doing. What about you, Will and Jason?
Oh, no. What's your dream car? I want to hear.
I'm in my dream car. It's a 911.
Are you really?
Yeah. I'm in my dream car. I bought it used. Here's how I did my cars. My first car was $3,600. I sold it for $6,000. I've never bought a depreciating car. I bought a 1983 Toyota Corolla, which became collectible after COVID.
Yeah.
It looks like the DeLorean. It's a Toyota Corolla, but it's 1983. Yeah. Look it up. It's called the Liftback.
Yep.
I bought it for $3,600 cash, sold it for $6,000. Unheard of. That $6,000, I bought my first Porsche. Porsche I always wanted because we grew up poor, but my father always loved Porsche. And at a certain point when his whole family fell apart, instead of giving us child support, he scrambled together $5,000-$6,000 to buy himself an old, It's like a 944, one of these weird Porsche models, super cheap. He got for like $5,000. And he sent us a picture in it, like to my mother, like, see what you're giving up? Like, he was like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And we got that picture. And I thought he was a deadbeat, but I thought it was pretty cool. Also, both were true. And I even though I don't have a relationship with my father now, in a way, I get to have a relationship with him in the ways that I'm like him. Obviously, it's not ideal. I would love to have a relationship with both my parents. But I see myself in the room. I see his eyes in my eyes. And when I'm in the car, I always think of him. This is the car he won. I get to enjoy kind of a relationship with him. Again, not ideal, but it's not nothing either. And it's very... It's not even like I'm a car person generally. It's just Porsche because that's all I heard about from him. Yeah. So then when I sold that car for $6,000, I got a Cayman, which I find is abysmal, for $13,000. But, so minus the six, so $7,000. And then I sold that one for $18,000. And I just got into my dream 2001 911, 996, black tan interior, think Californication, exact. Uh-huh. And for it was $28,000 minus the $18,000, $10,000, and I am in my dream car. And every day is a dream.
Atta girl.
Wow. Wow. Isn't that amazing, girl? That's for you.
Wow. Jason's had 100 Porsches.
Don't
really?
Say that. No. Oh my God, Jason, I would love to, if we ever make, I would love to
out.
Look.
One a week.
I know car, I love
one
it.
A week. One a week he'd have.
One a week is great.
He'd buy one a week and he'd throw it out. He'd drive it off a cliff with a brick on the,
the
brick on the accelerator.
You don't you listen to him.
That's
Robbie,
what I want for him.
Thank you for being here. This has been a dream for us and for me. I've
Robbie,
always wanted to
my
meet
God.
You.
I could do another hour.
I know, me too. You're intoxicating, Robbie.
I love you guys.
You're unbelievable.
We
love you.
We're gonna come over. We're gonna blast back and buys next week, and then we'll do legs and tries the week after that.
That's
okay.
I can't wait. I have felt very annoying on this pod just the last minute, but it's only because I'm very intimidated by all of you. I've low key been able to keep it together.
You're incredible.
But I really love all of you guys, and when I'm chatty and a little bit annoying, it's just because of that. I'm trying to keep
you're
up.
You're one of our better guests.
I know, but I love you guys. I really am such a fan. I know,
Robbie, I'm so stoked for your success because you're so legit funny all the time. It is exciting watching
somebody
like you just absolutely skyrocket. It's amazing. It's fun to watch, and
you may
deserve
see us out in the audience
deserve
one of these
all
times.
Of it. All
thank
of it.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, love you.
I'm watching
Robbie.
You tonight.
Okay, Jason, please report back through people. You don't have to do it personal.
No.
But just
I'm gonna send. I'll send
this
notes.
Franny, if any of these people can throw me an email.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, honey.
Thanks, Robbie.
Okay, bye.
See you soon. Bye, Robbie. Thank
all
you.
All the love.
Bye, guys.
God, she's funny, man. What
hilarious.
What a talent.
Well, I'd like a couple of more stand-ups on this, huh?
Yeah.
It's a nice guest there. It's a real nice guest.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to see it, Jason, the special Wake Up. It's really funny. I feel like, when stand-ups come out of not nowhere, but kind of nowhere. People are just discovering who she is now. With a voice like that, you're like, wait, who's that? Like,
yeah.
She is fearless when she talks about all of these topics,
I can't wait. I think all that sort of humor is sort of gently coming back into society. And I think that is not a terrible thing.
I like the way that she just talked. She talked about growing up and saying that in her family is like, if it was funny, then that trumped everything. As long as it's funny and that it's a joke in the service of just a joke, then that's, that was the thing that mattered in her. And
And I love that you can find these, there's all these specials, there's something like once a week almost on Netflix, right? Or these people are getting sort of discovered and launched, and Mulaney's shooting a lot of those? Is that what she was saying?
Yeah, remember Nikki Glaser too, like it just takes one thing and then you're like, pew.
Right. Awesome.
But all the car talk,
here,
I love all those
comes,
car talk.
I love it when you can feel him. He just pulls the car into the fork.
It doesn't matter what you're driving as long as it gets you there.
Right.
As long as you're happy driving
it.
Sure.
That happiness, that's something money
can't buy.
Bye.
Smart. Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarve, and Bennett Barbago.
Smart. Less.